just really nervous, so just pray for me. And I'm going to try to not cry. If I could tell the story of my life, it would be filled with hows and whys. There were struggles, pain and strife. I never should have made it, should have been dead 1,000 times. How'd you get beauty from the ashes? How'd you turn water into wine? How did chains turn into freedom? If you let me testify, there was a grace that carried me through all my darkest nights. It said, the sun is gonna shine again. There was a grace that helped me keep standing. It gave me the will to fight. It kept my hope alive. When there seemed to be no way, there was a grace. Have you been trying to just survive? Tomorrow's feeling out of sight. When every day feels like a fight, fear says you'll never make it. Don't you dare believe the lies. 'Cause he'll make beauty from the ashes, still turns water into wine. Turn your sorrow into freedom. Give me a miracle like mine. There was a grace that carried me through all my darkest nights. It said, the sun is gonna shine again. There was a grace that helped me keep standing. It gave me the will to fight. It kept my hope alive. When there seemed to be no way, there was a grace. When I take my first breath in heaven and I look upon his face, there's no wondering how I got here. So the only thing I'll say, there was a grace that carried me through all my darkest nights. It said, the sun is gonna shine again. There was a grace that helped me keep standing. It gave me the will to fight. It kept my hope alive. There was a grace that carried me through all my darkest nights. It said, the sun is gonna shine again. There was a grace that helped me keep standing. It gave me the will to fight. It kept my hope alive. When there seemed to be no way, there was a grace. When there seemed to be no way, there was a grace.
Hey man, how many's grateful for that grace? Thankful for our troubles, our trials, our problems. Grace was more. And let's all stand this evening. Thank you, Sister Rachel. We enjoyed that. Let's before we change the order of the service. This thing, Word of God ever true. I mean, he's looking for that word to change you. You've seen a change, but it's like, Lord, I want to be changed again. I want to be changed more. Holy words, long preserved for our walk in this world. They resound with God's own heart. Oh, let the word of God impart words of life, words of hope. Give us strength, help us cope in this world. Wherever we roam, the word of God will guide us home. Word of God ever true, changing me, changing you. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the word of God impart the fires of our faith, handed down to this age.
Came to us through sacrifice. Oh, heed the faithful words of Christ. Holy words, long preserved for our walk in this world. They resound with God's own heart. Oh, let the word of God impart.
Sing it to him. Oh, word of God, that's the only thing that'll change us.
Changing me, changing you. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the word of God impart.
Sing it to him again.
Word of God, ever true.
It'll never change, but it'll change us.
Changing you. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the word of God impart.
Amen. God bless you. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Josh, this thing's red with these new batteries in it. It's not green. Is it still on? Okay, we'll do it for as long as we can. These brand new batteries and technology. 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 I told a little guy yesterday he was trying to ring me up at Walmart, and we were at the in the pharmacy, and we've got a card on file. So every time we go there, we just get our prescriptions, put the card on file, blah, blah, blah. He couldn't find it. I said, okay, you can't find it. He said, no, sir, I can't find it. And I said, okay, look some more. It's in there somewhere. I mean, I had 98 cents, but I was wanting to put that on that card. He said, well, you know, sometimes sometimes it's these electronics. I said, them electronics only do what you punch. It's usually human error. His face got red. But I can't get this thing to move, Josh. Yes, that's exactly right. That's why I wasn't going to say anything until right now. We're going to reboot it. We'll start over. All right, good to be in the house of the Lord. Just pray for each and every one. The relief effort that's going on in at Brother Barry's and at Brother Donnie Reagan's, they're not taking anything else. They're done. They've got plenty to for right now. So maybe they need something later, but for right now, they've got plenty. So I appreciate all of your prayers. And I know they do. Appreciate everything that you've done, all the money you give, Brother Boyd and them and different ones taking things up there. And I know I'm punching it pretty hard, aren't I? Why is it not doing it with my fingers? Boo. Devil. Everything's normal for this weekend. It's still not moving. Brother Luis will be speaking for us next Wednesday. Brother Aaron this weekend will be in Ohio with the group up there. We sure do appreciate them, love them with the love of the Lord. And they always send us greetings and always send us accolades about all the things that our brothers are preaching here. And we sure appreciate them, appreciate their support. And we support them also. Remember, the church dinner is coming up in November the 17th. It will be here. The sign-up sheet's downstairs, so remember that. Other than that, I think we're good. You love the Lord? In the eyes of God, every step you take is a step closer to your purpose. God never saw anything negative. Oh, he sees things through different avenues. But for us, that Genesis 1:26, man, is going to stay the way he thought of it. Because that's what we're heading back to. And I appreciate the Lord for giving us grace, as Sister was singing there. I appreciate the grace that God gave us to be able to get back to him. And that we have a message of the hour. That Luther had a message of the hour. Wesley had a message of the hour. Pentecost had a message of the hour. All down through the ages. But they never had one that says this is the end. This is it for the Gentiles. This is the last Gentile dispensation. There's nothing else left for us. And if that doesn't make you happy, then you need to get to the altar, because we're heading towards something way better than this. We're heading towards something way better than this world, whatever it has. Like somebody said the other day, nobody's going to dig us out. Nobody's going to make us better on this world, in this earth. I was thinking today, you know, you see all these relief efforts, and you know every once in a while there'll be a scammer show up and scam somebody out of something. Amen. Feed them a scam sandwich. Right? But I'll promise you, Word of Life Church and Bible believers in Hickory, that ain't going to happen. They never saw a more perfect group of people than they. Now, they may make human mistakes, but I was thinking today, there's always scammers. You always hear people scamming people out of money. Those people will never in their life ever scam anybody out of anything. That's what God does when he goes inside here. He takes care of all that worldly stuff and us wanting to have an angle to get by with something. They had two groups of people up there that were just angels taking care of people that were humans, and they're still taking care of them, still regretfully finding bodies and all that. But just keep them in prayer and ask a blessing on the efforts that they're doing. So let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this evening, Lord. Middle of the week, Lord, we've come to a place to where we want to talk about you for just a minute, Lord. So I pray that you'd move us out of the way and you do the speaking. Lord, if there be any sick among us, may you heal them, Father. If there be any sin sick, Lord, may you come to their heart, Lord, and prick their heart, Lord, as you did on the day of Pentecost to the group of people, Lord, that received you, Lord. Father, I pray that you'd bless the little bride around the world, Lord. Be with the group there in Ohio, Lord. Be with Brother Aaron going up there, Lord, and ministering for them, Father, that little group up there, Lord, that we appreciate so much. Father, we ask you to just be with us now. Continue with us in this service in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know what it's doing, John. It's just locked up. Turn around and shake somebody's hand and say, God bless you. Blessings. It's like it's. And I rebooted it, so I can do it that way. Oh, that's going to be tedious. Why is that showing up like that? Let's turn on the pre-service music and let's have a time of silent reflection while we get this technology together. No, I'm going to go do this thing. This thing right here works. Mm. Oh. Take that back in and see what you can do with it. All right. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Sorry about that. Okay. All righty then. We're good. All right. Let's read our scripture here. Let me get this thing up here. There we go. Fire me up. Revelation 3:14. Thank you, Josh. Revelation 3:14. And to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou were cold or hot. God wants us to be one or the other. He does not want us to be wishy-washy, right in the middle, lukewarm, willy-nilly, all that stuff. He wants us to be one of the two. He wishes that we were one of the two. All right? So then because thou art lukewarm, because what? Lukewarm says, well, I'm fine. I'm lukewarm. I'm okay. I'm not too hot. I'm not too cold. I'm comfortable. Like some of y'all in here today, you're comfortable. So then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. And as I said before, 22 million millionaires just in the United States. And knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel thee to buy me gold, tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich. What richness are we looking for? We're not looking for the richness of the world. We're looking for the richness that Jesus promised us to have, even on this side. All right? And white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. We're going to be the only group of people, though, that really see who Jesus Christ is. The world can't. They can pick at it. They can look at it. It's like Paul. They look through a glass darkly. They think they know who Jesus is. They know he died on a cross. Well, some do. And then they can't get him in their heart, though, to where he can work his way back out. Behold, I stand at the door. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant. In other words, God now, to him that overcometh will I. Who's speaking here? Jesus Christ. Remember, he's the one that's speaking. This is all in red letter. He's speaking to John on the Isle of Patmos. Himself. All right. To him that overcometh will I grant. That grant is something he's going to give. He's going to give us something. It's a gift that he's going to give us. And remember, as we said many times before, well, a long time ago, that this age is the worst age there ever is, right? Ever has been. But it's the most intimate age with Jesus Christ that ever has been. Hello? Because we can sit in, not on, in. None of the other ones. Now, you'll get a stone, and you'll get a this, and you'll be in the temple of God, and you'll know this, and you'll know that. Nowhere so intimate is that we're going to overcome, and we're going to be absolutely right there with him. As we were speaking Sunday about she is him. We know she is him, and we get to sit on that throne, but he's the one that sits. Now, watch. He's the one that sits where? On my Father's throne. So there, we're all there together now. We have the true revelation of one God. No one else does. All right? The true revelation of one God. You got Jesus only. You got different ones. But this is the... And what is a throne? A throne is a dominion. It shows that you have dominion over something. So Jesus Christ, he got dominion over the devil, right? It's going to come to a realization we are the same as she is him, that we're going to get the same thing, body change and everything, just like him. So he that hit an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. You may be seated in the Lord and his blessings of the reading of the word. 1 Corinthians 13:8 says, charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they will fail. You know, we're talking about this transition to perfection. Whether there be tongues, they will cease. Whether there be knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. Paul, being a prophet, he could see things, but he couldn't understand them. Brother Branham saw things that he didn't understand. Come on, people. Brother Branham said, God don't always tell prophets everything, right? All right. But he tells us what's pertinent through a prophet. He tells us what's pertinent to us. All right. All those people that you know, Brother Branham told me this, and that's a secret he told me and didn't tell somebody else. Well, that may be for you, but that's not for me, buddy. The 1,100 sermons is when God was speaking to me. All right. I don't want no private revelation. that Brother Branham whispered in your ear. He wasn't that way. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, or that which is complete, or that which is made manifest is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, there's somewhere he had to be from a child to a man. So he had to come and he had to grow to that. Is everybody with me? For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, and charity, these three. But the greatest of this is what? The headstone, or charity, or that thing says love. That is agape love. And that's what we're coming to. The world cannot come to agape love. Without the new birth, you can't have agape love. Agape love, you have filial love, it gets all mixed in together, and Satan loves filial love. He's about the author of filial love. Yeah, he's the one who started it in the garden. Everybody with me? All right? Filial love is not in God's mind. Now, God knew about it. But the agape love is God's perfect love. That's that Genesis 1:26, man, we've been talking about forever and ever and ever. We're going to see that whole thing, everything, when you say Genesis 1:26, you read that scripture, that encompasses everything God wanted to do from the beginning. Amen. And it will culminate because he said, be blessed, have dominion, do this, multiply and replenish. He tells us what to do and subdue the world, and we're going to do that. It's all wrapped up in that Genesis 1:26, man. And I believe we are understanding it more than we ever have before. You know why? Because it's inside of you saying, I'm him. I'm it. This is it. This is what I am. I am that Genesis 1:26 person being made manifest in its last form. In its last form. This is the last form. Brother Ryan, he sent me a bunch of scriptures the other day, and some I had and some I didn't have about the end time. But man, you look at all those scriptures and you say, wow, no wonder we can identify where we're at. Because the whole Bible speaks of here. The whole Bible speaks of Christ living on the earth with a group of people that's his children and ruling and reigning over the 12 tribes of Israel and being us being kings and priests over the whole world. Everybody with me? Right? And that's what we're going to do very shortly. But we got to have dominion over this guy first. And I believe that's what the prophet brought us, the ability. He brought us the revelation to come to that perfection. Because if he didn't, somebody else has got to come. If it's not him, we got to find somebody else. But I believe it's him. And I believe he gave us everything we needed. We just got to keep digging and digging and digging and polishing and smoothing strive. We just got to strive. We can't stop. We can't quit. If everybody falls around you, keep going. If everybody denies this message, keep going. Because I'll promise you, it'll take you to a body change. I promise you that we which are alive and remain could be sitting here in this building right now, being the very scripture made manifest that Paul was talking about. If we believe that. So here we are at the end of we had a Holy Ghost, we had a Pentecostal age. Brother Brown came at the end of the Pentecostal age as Elijah, bringing the Elijah anointing. And then he brought two things, and we're going to look at something today that I've been studying on for a little bit, so I got a little bit of that together. But because Brother Brown tells us, he says we can't major on a minor. All right, so Brother Branham came, his first part of his ministry was a minor. Don't get quiet on me. It was a minor. Divine healing is a minor. It will not change your body. Divine healing will heal you, may make you feel better, but Brother Branham said you could have cancer, be healed, and die tomorrow the same thing. And be totally healed. And it's part of the atonement. You can't take it out. But come on, why? Why are we still majoring on a minor? Why are we still looking for people to speak in tongues and long prayer lines and, you know, people getting healed? And that's fine. There's nothing wrong with it. But you can't major on a minor. And I'll read this in just a minute where Brother Ram said that. But we're right to the end now. We're at the end of these church ages. We're getting ready to usher in the age of the Jews. Right just close by. Talking to Brother Richard Wilson, different ones, Brother Jimmy Harris yesterday, and it's just something that we're all looking for. We're all looking for that. We're looking for that culmination, not 10 years from now, 5 years from now, 3 years from now, but coming up this year is going to change a lot. This election is going to change a lot of things and people, and then it's going to be just a very short time before we get out of here. But you remember one thing, once we start manifesting the Son of Man ministry, once we start manifesting the Son of Man, they're going to hate us just like they hated him. They're going to persecute us just like they persecuted him. They're going to tell you you're false just like they told him he was false. And he was God Almighty in human flesh. And they turned him down so bad, just like Brother Branham, they turned him down in the last part of his ministry. He preached to 30 people in a trailer out in Arizona somewhere over that way. All right, he'd been preaching to 200,000 people. Why? That was his healing ministry. They couldn't get out of that healing. They couldn't get out of the prayer line. I'm sorry, they just couldn't get out of the prayer line. Now, never will I say we don't need prayer lines. But we got to quit majoring where we have all these meetings and they put it all on that last prayer line. Give me some word. Give me some word. Give me something to make me where I don't need to be in that prayer line again. Like I said before, give me a true minister, and I fail miserably too, but give me a true pastor that will stand behind the pulpit. Amen. And we'll be able to pray for you instead of having to go somewhere to be prayed for. Amen. I just believe that, folks. It's just too much minor. Too much minor going on. Stuck in a wheel. And you know what? Satan loves that. As long as we stay right here, he's fine. Brother Brown told the Pentecostals, you stayed right here. God moved on. But Pentecost was good. There's nothing wrong with it. And listen, you can't take laying on of hands out of the Bible because it's part of the atonement. If you need it, absolutely. If you don't need it, do what the Gentiles. Just believe. Believe in your heart. Let God transform you sitting where you're at instead of having to have an emotion and a feeling. What are you going to do when you can't find somebody, when you have to call on God yourself with no emotion? Or maybe you're just in a pickle and you can't know where to go but up. I've been there before. It's not fun, but it's great when God comes down and speaks to your heart and takes you out of it. We must suffer persecution. We must suffer that we can reign. Now, Brother Brown told us that, right? So on the day of Pentecost, which is the Azusa Street, this is modern times, it was under the man anointing. They had partial revelation. Because they had partial revelation, God could not rapture them. All the ages had partial revelation. Now, the first age had full revelation, but that corn of wheat had to go in the ground according to the Bible. Amen. So that you and I could come forth. Thank God they didn't take a rapture in the first church age. Thank God they didn't take it in the second church age. But believe you me, the Antichrist was there working already. Satan is never far away, folks. Don't think we've got him whipped and he went that direction and we did the bob and weave and we over here. No, he's probably standing there waiting on you to make it. He's a true adversary, but he's defeated. Questions and Answers, 1963. Oh, I really appreciate y'all being patient with me Sunday. We're going to try to cut that down a little bit and not be so long, but I enjoy doing questions and answers. And some of you did too, the ones you didn't say amen, didn't. It's just not too long. It's not very long. It's not bad. I like questions and answers, though. And it settles people's mind. That's why Brother Brown said a strong church is a church that asks questions. Because if you sit there with questions in your mind, you know what you're doing? You're sitting there asking the question over and over in your mind, and you're not hearing what I'm saying. Let's get that question answered. Then there might be another one. We just keep going on and on. So right here in 1963 in Questions and Answers on the Seals, Brother Brown tells us specifically there is no messenger to that age that the Holy Ghost came himself in the fullness of the baptism. Now that was to what? Bring back the gifts of God. They had been done away with in the Dark Ages. They had been done away by the Catholics. Luther come in and brought some things in. Wesley came in and brought some things in. Pentecost is now going to restore the gifts so that God can send us a prophet so that people can understand who he is and what's going on. All right? But it's at the end of the age, as always ends up, a messenger is sent. and all these scruples and things would be placed in their place. Which we know that Brother Brown's speaking this, and he pretty much at this time is at the first seal. No, question and answer is on the seals. He's already preached six seals. He pretty much understands now what he's doing. I believe he does. I believe he understands that he's the messenger, and there's a message, and there's a group of people, but that group of people's not here. That group of people's coming, which is us. Because listen, God can't rapture something that's not perfect, or he would have already raptured somebody else. There's a place we got to come to that God's going to rapture a group of people because they come to the completeness that he saw before the foundation of the world, right? So he had to send us a message. How's a Baptist going to make it saying that you just get a letter and once saved, always saved? You know, you get saved at 9 years old, and you don't go back to church till you're 40 or 50, and you die at 60. I've been to many Baptist funerals, and I know the people. They didn't ever go to church a day in their life, but at nine years old, they got saved, signed a letter, once saved, always saved. Now, once born again, always born again, but I don't believe that you can get saved and then not show up at church. So how's God going? But now listen, how's God? That's not in the Word of God. That's their interpretation. God is not going to rapture interpretation that's wrong. Right? He had to send a prophet that had what? Divine interpretation. That knew exactly the mind. It wasn't three or four or five denominations coming down and then Brother Brown. No, it was Brother Brown. God spoke to Brother Brown and said, this is it. Send him an angel. Said, I'm an angel sent from God and this is what you're to do. What a mighty God we serve. And that word is transformed into me and you. So the gifts were restored. 1 Corinthians 12, which is wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, miracles. I love these too. The speaking in tongues is okay, but I like to have knowledge of the Word of God and people to have faith and people to be healed and there be miracles. We've seen all these things. All right? But that's the minor. The tongues and interpretations is into the prayer line, and it's discernment, but it's the minor. Right. Now, then there's these other gifts that come into the church. Now, after the pastor, then there's evangelists comes in, then there's teachers, prophets, then there's apostles. All things together, working together with the gifts. Now, watch, to keep the church perfected. Not a tape, not a book. Right. A ministry, a fivefold ministry. To keep the church clean, to keep the church straight, to keep the sheep in the right sheepfold. Right, yeah. All right, eating the right grass and being protected by the right shepherd. Amen. Keeps the church perfected and clean and ready for the coming of the Lord. Like I said before, he's going to come after a group of people without what? Spot or wrinkle. Now, he's going to have to do it. All right, we can't do that. But through the Word, we've got to be able to put our faith back into the Word of God. Listen, the same faith you got today that when you got born again, ever how many years ago, use that same faith for whatever you need now. Because it brought God on the scene over here. It brought something over here to you that you didn't have. Let's have that same faith. Let's go back, and we can go back to that childlike faith, but we can't stay there. We can't start walking and then go back and crawl. But we can go back and say, God, right here's where I met you at. Right here's where I got something from you. This is the scripture. This is my scripture. I'm going to read it again. This is mine. This is for my kids. This is for my people. This is for what they need. This is my word right here. This is for me, not for no one else. You start doing that, claiming that part of the scripture. You'll be there with your offspring. You're going to take a body change. We which are alive and remain. You, all those different things. Start claiming it. Start walking in it. You say, well, see, here we go. We're majoring on a minor again. The minor is, well, I didn't feel a thing. Come on, we're humans. I didn't feel a thing. It didn't ask you how you felt. It asked you, did you believe it? And it may take weeks before it's manifested. It may take months before it's manifested. And it may manifest in a miracle right then. But you got to have what? Patience to wait on God. Remember what Brother Brown said? What? Patience who? Patience on who? He didn't say your neighbor. He didn't say your wife. Right. Remember inside your perfect man? He said the first thing you got to have patience with is who? God. You got to have patience with God. That he'll do what he said he will do. Amen. Regardless, if the world turns upside down, we were talking today, and you know they got the cat and dog thing in the schools now, where they can identify as a cat or a dog, and you think it's crazy they do it. Take their own little litter box with them to school. How crazy is that? I said, if my kid ever walked in and said he was a cat, you know what I'd do? I'd take him to the vet. Yeah. Praise the Lord anyhow. We found the study of the scriptures that's a message. They treat cats a lot different than they treat people. So we'll take them to the vet and see how much they want to identify as a cat. But that's the world. And you know what, though? We were talking, and they made a good point today. We were talking about it. We had a little downtime at the post office. And one lady, and she's a good Methodist girl, she said, you know, she said, if this thing goes two more generations, we're looking at it as abnormal. She said, two generations from now, that'll be normal. Because every generation gets weaker, and you start accepting things. That's what Satan does. He brings little things in, and he pushes it, and you accept it. He pushes it, and you accept it. That's why we shouldn't accept any of that junk. We shouldn't accept what the devil brings us. We shouldn't accept the world and what they give us. So we found in the study of the scriptures, the messenger of the age comes right at the end of the age. So what age did Brother Branham come at? He came at the end of that Pentecostal age that we were talking about, 1906 Azusa Street, to bring us a message that's going to take us in a rapture. Amen. All right? That's going to take us to perfection. All right? No other one. None of these we see here. Now watch. At the end of the Pentecostal age, we're supposed to receive, according to the word, God help me tonight to show you through here, that we are to receive, look, not a message, a messenger, and then he's going to have a message that will take all these loose ends. Now what's the loose ends? The loose ends is what's keeping us here. God can't rapture loose ends, or he would have already done it. He can't do that. He can't rapture loose ends. He can't perfect loose ends. But God, thank God he sent us somebody that could put that back together. He could tie eternity back together. Oh, praise the Lord. Listen, we're the most privileged people in the world. The world looks at us and we're crazy. You believe a what? And he did what? Like I said before, I'm reading that book about that Gordon Lindsay wrote. So did you, Brother Branham. Gordon Lindsay wrote a book about the great men of the era, or back from, I guess, Luther, Wesley, Sankey, Calvin, Finney. I mean, he lists everyone, and he just praises them. Never lists Brother Branham one time, and he knew Brother Branham. Gordon Lindsay was with Brother Branham until he started preaching the truth. I mean, he wasn't preaching there, but he got out of that minor part and then started preaching doctrine, and Gordon Lindsay left him. But that Brother Branham's name is not in that book. That's a shame. That's a shame. It's a shame, and it's not a shame to quote these other brothers. Moody, Sankey, Calvin. They had a part. But they had part. You and I are sitting today under the fullness. We have no restrictions that say what's between your two ears. That's the only restriction you got. You can't say, I don't have this. Yes, you have that. I don't have enough. Yes, you have enough of that. I haven't found it. You ain't looked hard enough. It's all on us. God laid it out there, and we're to find it. Amen. If it was so easy, then yeah, the whole world would say, yeah, that's good. That's all right. We're good. We got this message. Yeah, but can you live it? Right. That was Gordon Lindsay's problem. When Brother Branham started preaching truth and doctrine, it was so far away from all those other great men, which were great men. God winked at their ignorance. He didn't need perfection from them. Come on, he didn't need perfection from Dwight Moody. But Brother Ram said Dwight Moody sent millions of people to heaven. Right. Preaching simple doctrine. But that his requirement was not to tie loose ends up. Yeah. Oral Roberts was not to tie loose ends up. Right. Billy Graham was not to tie loose ends up. It was to get people to Christ and get them to see enough for salvation at least. Get them out of Sodom, as the two witnesses did down there. At least get one or two, get three of them out. Four, if Mama hadn't turned around and looked back at Sodom. So now look. Now look at that shuck. We've talked about this the other day. I want to just kind of redo it for a minute. There's a teeny bud of grain coming on. There's the real thing. See, that's what God's been looking for. All right, if this went in the ground at Nicaea, this blue bottle cap, if it went in the ground at Nicaea, everybody with me? and it got almost cut down. The bride tree got cut down, but it had power in the roots. You got to kill the roots of a plant, or it'll grow right back up. You can cut a great big tree down, and if it's got all the sap still in the roots, it'll start sprouting again. So what happened was that started sprouting again. Now, what's God looking for? He's not looking for stalk. He's not looking for shuck. He's looking for this again. This was the original that went in the ground. And Christ went in the ground to remember to come back to us on the day of Pentecost, right? But then the church had to go into the ground so that you could come to perfection and get this out of the ground. The life, you can't see it, though. Luther doesn't look like perfection. But he was perfect to God for what he had. He had the stalk, which the life was coming up through it, right? Then Wesley had the two shoots. Still the life, but none of this. This is hidden in here somewhere. I love that. The apple tree. You take one apple and you put it in the ground. It'll grow and produce more apples. Next year, it'll produce more apples. Every apple that was on that tree was in that little old seed that ain't much bigger. It ain't as big as your fingernail. Every seed has got that potential. So the seed went in the ground. Seed, the word. God covered it up through the dark ages. And then Luther. Now when it popped up, it didn't pop this up. But this is what God's looking for. He didn't say, I will restore the stalk. No, because he know that worm ate all that stalk down. He ate all the plant down, all but the life. Right? I will restore what? This. And this, what went in the ground, was the Son of Man. The Son of Man went in the ground. Amen? All right? But now, the life went in the ground. Now, what's God looking for again? He's looking for that Son of Man again. That's why I see it more clear now than ever seen it in my life. Jesus Christ, not in body form like we were talking about Sunday. He's not coming back in body form until the millennium. But you and I are so much his part till we are him. This is what he's looking for. This is it. And this is me and you. This is the end time bride in one little seed. Because what's it going to do? It's going to come up. Now you're going to have a shuck. Now what does a shuck do? A shuck does this right here. You gardeners know what? I mean, even if you look at wheat. If you look at wheat and you look at a little hairy looking thing on the wheat, that's a shuck. That's not the seed. That's why you have to winnow wheat, which means you got to throw it up in the air. Look on YouTube if you don't know what I'm talking about. They take it overseas, and instead of, now, America, we have blowers that blow that off. But they don't have that over in the Far East. And they take and throw it up in the air with a pitchfork-looking thing. And you see the chaff and the shuck. You see the wind take it all away. Well, what falls to the ground? The wheat. And that looks just like what was planted in the ground 4 months before. Amen? So this seed that's here now looks just like the seed that went in the ground. That's why it's the Son of Man ministry, folks. It can't be a spirit. It's got to be a man in human flesh, a man. I'm talking about a many-membered body that culminates into the one seed plant. Remember, not to seeds that are many, but to one seed, which is Christ. Amen. And you and I are Mrs. Jesus Christ. I was thinking yesterday, more and more we keep looking at these things, and I keep studying a little bit more just on the common things, like water baptism. Why do we take that name? Why did Jesus tell us in the name of? He told us exactly what to do. But the devil said, no, stay right there, because that's not a name. Don't tell me Jesus. Don't tell me God came up with the Father, Son, Holy Ghost baptism. Brother Brown said it would come from the pits of hell. Direct quote. He said that doctrine came from the pits of hell. It came right out of Jesus' mouth. But it came from the pits of hell. You had to have a revelation. Because then people sitting there was like, you could have said anything but that, Brother Brown. We're gone. You're saying Jesus was pit from. No, he wasn't. He was saying they didn't have the right revelation. See, you and I have the right revelation. Amen. So guess what? Check that off. Take that loose end and tie it up, Brother Bob, and pull a pull it together because we've got that one. Remember, we got to go on to perfection. Paul said, don't go back to this. We don't have to keep proving water baptism. Now, we do the younger ones. We know that. But now, me and you, if I come up Sunday, and all y'all are pretty mature in here, been here for a long time, and I preach on water baptism, then next Wednesday I preach on water baptism, and then next Sunday I preach on water baptism, eventually y'all find somebody that'll preach to you something else besides water baptism. We got that. You know, yeah, we got that. So Paul said, let's go on to perfection. Brother Brown said, let's go on. Let's tie the loose ends together. And that was the first part of his ministry. That was the bait on the hook and all the different things at the beginning. But the real message was after all that was, like, I was going to read it, but I don't have time. I'm going to try to stop a little bit early tonight. I said try. I'm about to close. That's what Brother Kidder Dick says. I'm about to close. But you go to Elijah on Mount Carmel. Remember those 400 prophets? They tore that altar to pieces. Now, what did the Bible say? Elijah put those stones back together. He told them how this, he said, look, you've tore this thing apart. Brother Brown said, you've tore this thing apart. You prophets of Baal. Now, he didn't say Baal. He had a lot more grace than that, but he was pretty much telling them they tore religion apart. It just became a denomination. But Elijah, before God came on the scene, though, Elijah had to put them stones back where they were. Right. And he knew that because he restored them back. He put those back to where they were supposed to go. Then God came on the scene. Well, guess what? Brother Ram did the same thing. He comes on the scene with all those prophets jumping up and down and say, we got a Trinitarian doctrine. We got three gods. And I was listening to somebody the other day on Moody, and he tried to explain the Trinity. And I know a lot, but I was really confused when he got done. I started to call in and go, could you explain that just one more time? He was talking about this was a person and this was a person and this person was this one and came over to this one and I just didn't understand it. I thought, man, just believe in one God. But you know what? Why can't we? Why? Because it's the spirit of the age. It's the spirit that came that Trinitarians pulled it apart, right? Nicaea pulled it apart, false doctrine pulled it apart, and give us three gods. Amen. And they can't explain it. They try, but they just can't. I just believe, hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one. And he amorphies into different forms. And right now, he's in the last amorphy. He's in me and you. That's pretty much self-explanatory to me. So there's a little teeny bit of grain coming in. There's the real thing. See, we got to come back to the real. Not that it was false, but remember, partial to perfect. Partial to perfect. Brother Brown said, here's my hand. It's up against the wall. That's a shadow of it. But there had to be an original before there could be a shadow. There had to be an original dollar before they could counterfeit a dollar off of it. Right. All right? So there had to be a real. And this is real. But that got lost down through the ages. Right. The real got lost. Right. Oh, there was pieces. But with me and you. That which is perfect is come. That which is in part to be done away with. We don't work on counterfeit anymore. We don't work on we hope this is right anymore. I hope you don't. Amen. If this ain't it, I'm telling you, as much fun as I've been having, if this ain't it, if it's coming a lot more fun, that'll take us in a rapture. But this is it right here. This is going to rapture us. We're going to see this in the next. If God allows another year or so, we're going to see the culmination of everything God told us through that prophet would take place. There's some things that hadn't took place yet. And we know for sure those two prophets are over there in Israel right now. They got to be. And they may be fighting and God may be protecting them. But, I mean, they're throwing bombs at each other like crazy over there. But I like Israel. They stood up again the other day and said, look, we didn't ask for your permission. We didn't need your help to begin with. And the United States is going, well, you need our... No, we don't need your help. You can help us if you want to, but we don't really need your help. So they went over there and just took that one guy out, and they even had a drone footage of the guy. They droned him. They put that drone right in the room where the man was, that leader, Sawan or whatever his name was, Yahya. And they took him out. I mean, they showed it. taking him out. So don't mess with God's people. They're still God's people. God's still fighting for them. He's still fighting with them. And as long as we do, we'll be fine. But when we turn against Israel, we're done. And we're going to be out of here because that means that the man of sin is coming. And he's going to make a contract with them, and we're not going to be here to see it. So don't worry, folks. It ain't going to be a long time. But now, what was that shuck? Pentecost protected the grain. It allowed that grain to mature. But what happened was the shuck fell away. Watch. Now it looks just perfectly. No wonder Jesus said it would deceive the very elect if possible. Looks just like the grain right in the place the grain ought to be because it's so close. It's right here. It did the same thing that the others did before, organized. What did it become? A carrier. Now let's read. I'm going to read this real quick and then we'll get back off of it back on again. But Brother Brown, in 1956, and hear ye him. Now watch what he says. Now I want to say to you last night, tonight was evangelistic call. Friends, divine healing is just a minor. We still believe Brother Brown was a prophet, right? And you can never, do you believe what a prophet says? He didn't say you can compromise and kind of, he said you will never major on a minor. As I said, salvation of the soul is much greater than divine healing. Divine healing was included in the new atonement because the old atonement had healing in it and the new one is much better than the old. If the old one could furnish healing, what about the new one? In other words, under bulls and goats, they were healed. They had waters. They had different things, you know, before the Holy Ghost came on a group of people and they started praying for the sick. You didn't hear them praying for the sick in the Old Testament because they didn't. Remember what Brother Brown said? He said, I sure wished I could put my hand in Moses' script bag, whatever he had in there to heal all and heal his hand and all that stuff. That was just partial to what, when Jesus stood there and said, divide the loaves and fishes and raise up, go do this, go do that. And everything just did what he said. We'll get to something, not this today, but I want to get to something about that. You got to read what Jesus said. Because if we're to be the Son of Man in the end time, we've got to do what that man did. Everybody with me? I think Dad told us a long time ago, read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That's the Son of Man. All right? Now the manifestation of what he preached in partial, I'm sorry to say that, but Paul said he prophesied in part. But read those four Gospels. That's the Son of Man ministry. So whatever happened to him is going to happen to us. Now listen, the only part is we don't have to be crucified. Now we'll be crucified, but not on a cross. He was crucified once for all. We don't have to go to a cross. But we have to bear a cross. You understand that? So partial to perfect, the transition now, the change from one thing to the next. So we're changing now, just like the Old Testament. As John come on the scene and behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, the first coming of Christ. Right? Everybody with me? Amen. Brother Branham was the same thing. He comes to the end of the... Beautiful. He comes at the end of the church age. Paul, Irenaeus, Martin Luther, Columbus, all the way up Pentecost. He stands right here and tells the people, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. You got to come here. You got to come here because God has moved from here to here. And then look, he didn't point us to himself. He pointed us to Christ, which is the word of God. Everybody knows that. So transition is a change from one to the next. So John the Baptist stood, and he took him from the Old Testament into the New Testament. Brother Branham took him from getting away from everything. Come on. Because he was to restore what was gone. To bring the what? Faith of the fathers back. Because the faith of the fathers was what? They didn't have these loose ends. They didn't have them over here. Paul never preached a Trinitarian doctrine. John never preached a Trinitarian doctrine. None of those first, they didn't have that in their mind. Now there was people there that did. But not them, not the original one. Well, we've come back now to the original thing. But Brother Branham said, I know what happened. Satan said, okay, I feel that anointing too. It's cool over here. I think I'll stay right here. I never found this spot before. But they got an anointing, and Satan says, I think I'll go over here. This is where he knows what's true. Remember, he was from the beginning. He just don't like it. And what he's doing is he's trying to get you not to like it. He's really not trying to get us to worship him. He's getting us to not worship God. Therefore, we'll worship him. Turn our eyes to him. But Satan comes along and he comes right here and he gets in that Pentecostal. I'll read it. He gets in that Pentecostal and he starts breaking them up into all these different isms and schisms and two-ness and three-ness and Church of God of Christ, Church of God. There's thousands of different Pentecostal denominations. And God never set a one of them up. Right. Satan set every one of them up. That's why Brother Branham said, come out of her, my people. You and I are the ones that he came for to get us out of that. Right. That Pentecostal age and get us into the bright age. Amen. Well, you can be happy about that if you want to, but I'm sure I'm happy about it. I'm sure I don't have to go to a church where you got to speak in tongues and you got to shout to have the Holy Ghost. We'd all be in trouble because y'all don't do that, neither do I. Hello, somebody. But somewhere in that ugly caterpillar is a butterfly. Caterpillars are not pretty. They're ugly. But what's inside of that thing is really beautiful. So what we got to do? Let it out. All right, Hebrews 6, verse 1 said, therefore, leaving the principles, what? The cornerstone of the doctrines of Christ. Like I said before, we don't have to preach water baptism every service. Sure, we can add it in when we got new people. Sure, we can. If anybody has a question, we'll go back and answer it. But you should have that settled in your heart in this church right here today that water baptism in the name of Lord Jesus Christ is the only correct baptism. Amen. So now we can move on. So build on that. Don't go back to that. Don't go back in 3 years from now or 3 years before and go, I wonder if that's right. No, come on. You got to have that established in your heart because we got to go on to perfection. Let that be your foundation. Yes. Amen. Right. Exactly. Listen, if you start right, you'll end right. Yeah. If you don't start right, you got to go back to right so you can get out here. Yeah. That's why Brother Branham said, listen, I can lay a straight wall. Not a problem. But when you turn a corner, you got to get that angle exactly right, because if you don't, when you get from here 30 feet down that way, what does it start doing? It goes completely off the foundation. You know how I know that? Come to my house. Me and Daddy didn't read something right down one corner, and we almost had to lay another foundation. It stayed on it, but it was about that far off. But we didn't have the thing done exactly right. And you listen, you can't go back once the mortar's already dry. Yeah. Amen. So turning a corner has to be something that God does to make it perfect. Yeah. Right. And God, with a prophet, he turned a corner with a prophet called William Branham. Right. All right? So Paul said, look, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection. The headstone, the Son of Man. Who was the most perfect man in the world? Listen, Christianity will tell you who was perfect. The Son of Man. The Son of Man was perfect. They just don't know and hadn't been taught that that same spirit of that Son of Man is inside of you, and then the anointing for the end time is for us to be just like him. Oh, no, you can't. See, there you go. You think you're perfect? In Christ, yes, I am. If you put it in him. Because what is the Son of Man? What is perfection? It's the finisher. When you're done, it's perfected. One who has in his own person raised faith to its perfection. Remember, there's faith for the time. Brother Dale preached that years ago. That the little woman at the well had faith for the time. The woman at the him of the God had faith for her time. She didn't have faith. Listen, she didn't have faith for a body change. Because obviously she's dead somewhere laying in the tomb over there. So is Lazarus. So is everybody except the people that are out here now, right? So she had faith for the time to get her where she needed to go. You and I have got to be what? The finisher. Because remember, he's the author and finisher of our faith. So faith has got to come to a raised faith to its perfection and so set before us the highest example of faith. And then Paul continues on, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptism, laying on of hands, resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. This we will do if God permit. And God has permitted 2,000 years Amen. To get it right. Amen. All right? So the cornerstone was the church age's partial revelation. The headstone, the Son of Man, is the perfect revelation. Right. Now, Brother Branham worked under partial revelation. Come on, somebody. Amen. Brother Branham preached wrong doctrine. Amen. Don't get quiet on me. He said he did. He said, "If I would have made a horrible mistake if I'd have preached what I preached before. When the angel came in the room and told me this." Boy, people don't like that, but you know what? Partial to perfect. Thank God he was man enough. That whole week of the seals, he was man enough to stand in that pulpit and say, "I was wrong. This was wrong, far beyond what I thought." He thought the souls under the altar was y'all. The dead saints, it went open. Amen? It's on tape. In books. Thank God for a man that was honest. Amen. He didn't hide nothing. But then that which is perfect came. Amen. When those seals opened, that's when God turned that thing and said, "All right, buddy, this is what you preach. That white horse rider is not the Holy Ghost like you preached. It was the mighty conqueror back in the 50s. Isn't that right? Those souls under the altar, they're not crying how long to avenge our blood. That's not saints. Saints don't cry for vengeance. But that had been hid. But once that book was open, and Brother Branham could see when that angel came every day in that room and gave him revelation and said, "Look, now remember, let me get something straight. An angel never gave him a revelation. I can't give you one. Brother Branham can't give you one. Only God can give you a revelation." Amen. So I believe, as Dad said many times before, I believe that angel had been with him. I mean, that angel was with him all the time. And I believe he just said, "William Branham, what you been preaching?" "Been preaching one God, and here it is right here." He said, "So who's that guy riding that horse? And you said it was me, or God. Who is that? You got two people. You always said if you had two people, one was the devil." And then it just clicked. And Brother Branham, now remember, because watch what he said. If you go back to the seals, he said, "I spent the whole day going through scripture after scripture after scripture," what? Lining that thing back up. To where now we can stand here today, every minister in this gospel, every minister in this church age, in this message, can preach the truth if we want to. Just like the prophet did. Because, folks, he's gone. His body's laying up here in Jeffersonville. His soul is in the sixth dimension. He's waiting on somebody to preach a perfection that he preached while he was here. And I contend that's us. I just contend that's every day I get up. Somewhere during that day, I think, it's so good to be in this message. And you know what? I'm not a Branham parakeet. I had a preacher one time said, I'm just a parakeet for Brother Branham. I said, "Well, now, I'm not, brother. I just can't be that. I can't be a parakeet. Because that's just saying what somebody else says. I want God to speak to me through those tapes. Speak to me through those books. And let me come to that revelation. Let my Holy Ghost be so free to where it takes all that and says, that ain't nothing but the truth." Well, you know what it done to Hattie Wright? It brought eternal life to her children. Just by saying that ain't nothing but the truth. Why don't we start saying that sometime? I know when you say amen, you say it ain't nothing but the truth. Because you wouldn't amen if you didn't think it was the truth. But we know what to amen for. Some of you ought to try it. Exactly. Now look, then we find out we've been studying that down through the ages we had reformers. That's what we've been talking about. Pieces. They've had pieces. Each office carried its own work. But when the real thing is to be revealed at the last time, look, of the last part of the church, that's us. There is no other bride church coming. This is it. It's when God has said he would send to us, according to the scripture, we've searched it, that he predicted the spirit of Elijah will return in some person. It'll be properly identified. And we know it was. Absolutely know it was properly identified. So Malachi 4, he turned the heart of the children of the fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. That's Brother Branham. The part before that was John the Baptist, remember? So Brother Branham was sent two Pentecostal babies to bring them to maturity. Amen. Now, what they done with it was their business. And you know what they did? They loved him. They loved him when they could get 25,000 people in an auditorium and they'd be healings, one right after the other. Oh, the Pentecost, and then somebody pop up and speak in tongues and prophesy and all that. They just, that was their glory days. But they said, this is it. Brother Branham stood one day and said, listen, you say this is it. You latter rain people say this is it. He said, you hadn't had these. In other words, I hadn't started teaching yet. Amen. The truth, the real, I mean, digging down and digging in the truth and telling them the water baptism and Lord Jesus Christ was the only way to baptize. Telling them there was no eternal hell. Telling them that they come to a place of marriage and divorce where your sins are forgiven and all these different things and where God gives grace, and then we look at all these other different things that they didn't want to hear that. They left. That's what me and Brother Jimmy was talking about yesterday. You know, Brother Branham, when he preached to seals, he said, all my friends are going to leave me. I think he made an amount. But when he preached marriage and divorce, I think he said thousands. He said, look out, office. He said, here it comes. You know why? Because that was the separating part. Because remember the woman said afterwards, remember Brother Branham said, she said, Brother Branham, you forgive those people their sins. He said, she wasn't far off from that. And what he said? Because listen, folks, the Bible tells us, whosoever sins you remit, they're remitted. Whosoever sins you retain, they're retained. That's in the Bible. Brother Branham couldn't come and bring anything outside the Bible. It was already in Scripture. So now the Holy Ghost has got to have something to work with. That's why you and I have got to get rid of the false doctrine. I believe we have. But we need to keep working on what? Christ-like nature. That's what we're heading to. Let the life do it. Said, I'll never let a seventh grade dummy teach me. I bet somebody was saying that in their mind, and he picked that up and said that. And I bet, could you imagine somebody be sitting there and thinking all that, and he just verbatim tells you what you're thinking? You know, he stood there one day and he said, watch it. He said, I know what you're thinking. Right. Good grief. Could you imagine? No wonder he was only one man that could stand it. I'd go crazy. Yeah. He said he'd have to pinch himself to see if he was in this world or the next. Sometimes I have to do that, but it's not because of that. Is this really where I'm at? So the transition to perfection has begun. Just a few minutes. So after the birth pains comes, instead of going on with the word, they got a bunch of men together, just like the first one did. That's exactly. Right after the rocking of the apostles, then we find her going off again like Nicaea, all those different things. Then we find out along come many of the others, Agabus and many of the great reformers back in the beginning. Each age had done, as you study the pre-Nicaea council, the Nicaea fathers, and all back. You find it all in there. Each age was rocked. Every time a messenger came forth, he had thus saith the Lord. Now she is in the worst stage that according to scripture she's ever been. We are in the Laodicean church age, a rich but blinded church age that don't know it. There wasn't nowhere in the Bible that Christ was ever put out of the church but the Laodicean age. She's in the worst age. She's the rottenest she's ever was. I said as a queen and have need of nothing. And don't you know that you're naked, miserable, blind, poor, and don't know it? Yes, sir. I counsel thee to come and buy ISAF. This message is the ISAF. Right. That's right. The word of God preached through lips of clay, anointed by God, is ISAF. Right. Amen. 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 That I might open your eyes. The ISAF of God will certainly bring light to the church if it wants to open his eyes to what God has said. Notice quickly now, she's in that stage beyond a shadow of a doubt we're in the Laodicean church age. Now, her messenger is promised in Malachi 4, the fourth chapter. He's promised to do it. And the message is to bring back the word. All right, bring it back. Bring the people back to the word. Pentecost partially did that. They didn't come to full word, though. They come to a certain place. Right. Or the Holy Ghost wouldn't fail itself. Right. All right. Birth is to be, she's to be delivered of a new birth from according to Malachi 4. Now, I've heard this preached many, many times by people in the message, one particularly, that this is the new birth that we have today is you always was eternal. You always had that seed. You was all this. I mean, you was, they don't talk about predestination by foreknowledge. It's just that. You come to a realization. This is the new birth from according to Malachi 4. You can't change the Bible. Brother Branham never said that. Brother Branham is not meaning that right, that it's a new birth. It's a new birth from according to Malachi 4. Because when you come to that Malachi 4 birth in the end time, listen to me, people. You won't accept false doctrine. Now, the new birth in the other ages, God would wink at that ignorance and would accept. He wouldn't accept false doctrine. He'd accept your sincerity for what was being brought at the time it was brought. Right? Thank God for grace. Thank God for grace with people, Luther and Wesley, and different ones. And they'll thank God, too, because they made it. But then you come over here in the end time. The word be delivered of a new birth from according to Malachi 4. What is Malachi 4 to do? Restore. So we're to come to a new birth, and when you get born again in this age, you get born again in this age, and you hear this message, you've got to come to it. You've got to come to it. You can't deny it. If you deny this message, you're not born again. That's thus saith the Lord. That's thus saith the whole Bible. That's thus saith everybody in this building can say thus saith the Lord. You know, Brother Ram told us, he said, you know, the bride will have thus saith the Lord, and she'll sit still. Well, we don't have to sit still anymore. We have thus saith the Lord. We know where the word is. We know what it says. Amen. We know how to get it. Right. Amen. So we can say, thus saith the Lord, this is what it is. This message is exactly the truth. Amen. Come straight from God to me. Amen. If it come to you, that's fine. But it came straight to me. Amen. In the church world today, there's two systems working. I want you to see if you're going to say amen on this. Why? One of the systems was set. Both systems were sitting in his congregation at the time. There's two systems working in the church world today. I'm going to get this off my shoulder, then I have it over with. We all know that that's the Word of God and the denominational system. There's your two systems. Amen. Denominational world, Word of God. There's two systems at work, just like Jacob and Esau, just like who? Judas and Jesus. And the only way Jesus knew who Judas was is because he was the Son of Man. He had discernment. He knew who he was. I hope that's simple enough that you can understand it. Now look, he said, these men, Brother Bob Black, Brother Aaron Roberts, Brother Luis Urrego, different ones, Brother Richard Douglas, all those different ones, those men, those men, you are there. That is your quote. These men, if they pick up this, capital T, that's the message, and goes out with it, they can make more sense to it. I think it makes really good sense. But he said we'd make more sense of it. I just want to lay this seed and then hope they make it come to life. And I believe we've done it. Amen? Now remember, he'll restore the truth as they had it. And those elect with him in that day will be the ones who truly manifest the Lord and be his body. He's talking about the Malachi 4 message. All right? Truly manifest the Lord and be his body and be his voice. Be his voice. Revelation 10. And perform his works. Do you see it? 1965. Doing God a service. Now watch. The mysteries will be revealed in the last day. Now listen. Divine healing is not a mystery. It's been happening since the dawn of time, pretty much. Everybody with me? All right. There's a mystery maybe how it happens. But there's no mystery to it. We have it. It's in the atonement. It's in the Bible. It tells us. The mystery will be revealed in the last day when the seventh angel's message, not when he starts out doing this, but when he begins to sound his message. See, not in the years of preparation. Not the bait on the hook. Not the partial. Everybody with me? Not the cornerstone. Zerubbabel laid that building again. He swept the foundation off. He didn't destroy the foundation. He built what was on there already. He built it back up. All right? Elijah didn't get another set of stones. He built on that same foundation that they tore down. Now, not the years in preparation, but when he begins to sound the message, these mysteries will be revealed. And here they are. Boy, what a prophet. Here they are. Not knowing them, and you people are witness of that. Paradox. Now, this is what we'll get to, and then we'll close right here. 1965. Healing is the children's bread. We realize that. It's in the atonement. And the atonement first is applied to our soul. Get people born again. I think sometimes they, and it's good that you go through a prayer line, but most people go through a prayer line, they want to be healed of something. And healing has always forerun every message. And it's been also been a means to gather people together. Remember, Jesus started out healing ministry, and then he started preaching the word. Brother Brown started out healing ministry and started preaching the word. All right? Many people will sponsor a healing meeting. Many will come to a healing meeting or a song festival. I don't know what he put that in there for. But when it comes to a poor lost soul, there's not many people interested in it. That's the main thing, though. Divine healing and singing festivals and so forth is just, as Brother Bosworth said, it's the bait on the hook. And you show the fish the bait, not the hook. And it's just the thing to get the people to listen till you can really present to them your message. God has did that in every age. Through every age, there's always been a healing campaign. You know what? That angel rebuked Brother Branham for trying to explain that. Right. You know what he's saying? You're wasting your time. You can't teach Pentecostal babies supernatural things. And the Pentecostals thought they was the most supernatural people in the world. And God had left them. God has did that in every age. There's always been a healing campaign. And if it's a genuine healing campaign, behind that campaign always is a message. There never is a sign given just for a sign. It's forerunning a message. And see, you and I have picked that up. Then there's a message. We love the healing part. But give me the message. But when he begins to tell them the truth of the gospel, who he was and what he come for, he's talking about Jesus, he was not popular after that. And that's the way it's always been through every age, and it will continue that way. When that church age is done, denominated and become a church age, when it's done in its Pentecostal organization, when the messenger to that, what was each messenger? What was Martin Luther? A rebuke to the Catholic. What was Wesley? Rebuke to the Lutheran. Pentecost, rebuke to the others. Where has the life gone now? Away from an organization, no more shuck. It had to come back to the grain. What is it? A rebuke to the Pentecostals to fulfill the scripture of this hour. Notice the very day when this message, not when he starts on, but when he begins to declare his message. You see, the first pull was healing. That started it out. Second pull was telling them the thoughts and intents of the heart. But now remember, you got to carry that on to where Brother Branham was starting to preach his message. All right, he was starting to discern what they needed and give it to them. Third pull, opening of the word, the mysteries revealed. So the first pull was healing. Second pull was that intermediate part. And then the opening of the word, the seals, the mysteries revealed. There's no more higher order to reveal the word than prophets. The only way the prophet can be vindicated is by the word. Remember, the third pull was the opening of them seven seals to reveal the hidden truth that's been sealed in the word of God. Real quick, right here. All right. Now, we're trying to place the revival. Now, watch this. What year is this? 1959. Now, listen. Here's a prophet, 1959. He's been on the scene now since what? 1948, 48. Isn't that when everything started? 47, 48, 47. 47, 12 years, 12 years he's been on the field, 12 years. Watch. Now, we're trying to place the revival just in the best setting that we can. We do not what we call major on divine healing. He's been preaching for 12 years. Because divine healing is a minor. All right? And you cannot major on a minor. We know that. So the great thing that we're after for any revival is to bring lost souls to Christ first. Now watch, he's put four things in here. Bring lost souls to Christ first. If you bring somebody to Christ first and get them born again, you ain't got to tell them the message is right. You've done your job. It's God's job through the Holy Ghost inside of them to take them right through. You don't have to tell a Holy Ghost-filled person to come to church. That's why you get them born again. You don't have to worry about preaching about people not coming to church. It's the lost souls. And that's the first thing. Revive the church back into a spiritual condition. Number two, to where it should be. Close communion with God. Bring fellowship among the churches. That's not happening too much. Third and fourth, pray for the sick. Last thing, pray for the sick. That's our aim. Our try, sinners first. Fellowship and with the churches, a close walk with the church to God, and then pray for the sick. Now, that's the way it's lined up. Amen. All right? Sin is on the rampage, worse than it ever was, and moved right into the locks of the church and has tore it up. What did our miracles do? Now, watch. This is 1959. Same thing. 12 years after. He's been on a 12-year healing campaign at this moment right here. Sin is on a rampage worse than it ever was and moved right into the locks of the church and has tore it up. What did our miracles do? He's asking a question. What did our healing campaigns? Question mark. I believe in divine healing, sure, but you can never major on a minor. Divine healing is a minor. We could never major on those things. The church ought to be to maturity. 1959. And we've had rushing winds. We've had all kind of sensation. Where's the church at? Where are we at today? I asked the same question to us. Still more denominations growing every day and colonizing and everything, and still the same men. Evidence of the resurrection, 1958. What's the matter? Today you can preach repentance and hellfire and brimstone, and people laugh at it. What's the matter? Our hearts are cold. We are indifferent. We've got too much. We need less of the world and more of God. Our hearts are too cold. We become interested in some emotion. Oh, whoa. One more time. We become interested in some emotion. We become interested if we can dance. Now watch. If we can shout, I believe in it. We believe in all that too. But you better get the word first. You get the word first, everything else goes in line. If we can speak with tongues, I believe in it. I believe in every bit of that. But if we have that and don't have that agonizing, weeping, broke-up spirit, God can never use it. Them things are good, but we got to have the other to go with it. We've left off, now watch, we've left off the main thing. And gone for secondary. You see it in the message now too, brothers and sisters. They've left off the teaching part. They've left off trying to grow in God. And they went to the secondary. And you can never major on a minor. We know that. Identified Christ of all ages, 1964. Let's get one after the seals and then we'll close. Now in this we do not try to say we major in divine healing. Because divine healing is a minor. Does everybody understand what a minor and a major is? A minor is you can't become perfected. Right. Minor's partial. Everybody with me? Right. Minor is partial. Major is perfect. Amen. So you can never, now he said never 10 times. You can never major on a minor. But now watch. But about 86%, I think, it's estimated, of Jesus' ministry was on divine healing. As Dr. Bosworth used to say, one of my associates went on to glory a few years ago, divine healing is the bait that's on the fish hook. And you never show the fish the hook, you show him the bait. So he takes the bait and gets the hook. The problem is sometimes when we go fishing, I know me and Brother Danny, we have fed a lot of fish that never took the hook. Because we didn't put the worm on right. Maybe sometimes we ain't put the worm on right and catch fish. I'm talking about in this message. We want to catch the fish for the Lord's glory. Catch them out of the world and bring them to the kingdom of God. Now watch. Read this right here and then we'll quit. Musicians, come on. So divine healing, the main thing is divine healing of the soul. The body of Christ, it needs healing worse than anything that I know, is the body of Christ. It's been so broken up by men's theology and denominational differences until it's a sick body. I tell you, it needs healing, great healing. Now, a gift, like I said, a gift is wonderful. Let's stand. But you can't base your eternal destination on gifts. You cannot major on a minor. And a gift is a minor. And Satan can impersonate any gift God's got. And he can make something just exactly like it. But listen, he can't put the word together. He hates the word. Therefore, we got to watch that. He's seen demons shout, speaking tongues. Same thing they do about divine healing. They said, well, it's a hocus pocus or something like that. It isn't. It's genuine, unadulterated faith in what God said is the truth. And that anchors. And when it anchors, there's nothing going to move it. Now, here's my stopping point right here. Brother Brown tells us in birth pains. He said, that's the same thing in the new birth. We never go back, but we go forward when we're born again. And that's why I think today we have not so many, genuine new births.
Amen. Right.
Because it's built on an emotion, it's built on shouting, it's built on going through a prayer line, it's built on brother so-and-so told me I had it. You're going to be left behind.
Amen.
But you get the Holy Ghost and he'll lead you and guide you into all truth, he promised. That's why I think today we have so many, not so many, rather genuine new births. It's because the seed is maybe will sympathize with the word. God is not a sympathizer. Satan is a sympathizer. We'll sympathize with the word or the person. If my favorite preacher preaches, I'll get something. But they don't want to rot away from the old system that they were in. And as I said again, where's the new birth according to Malachi 4? It's not made in a prayer line.
Right.
It could start, but I thought we believe in justification, sanctification, baptism, and Holy Ghost.
Amen.
It's not getting healed of cancer, though that's wonderful.
Amen.
It's the healing of your soul.
Amen.
Be taught right. The two systems, they pulled this whole thing apart. And here we are. Standing here today, we're trying to get ready to go in the rapture. We can't have minor. We can't have minor. Minor can start. Minor's okay. But don't major on that minor. Healing, healing. If I see healing, I can get born again. If I see that person or if my favorite preacher says I'm healed or says I'm born again, you better watch it. Satan can impersonate every gift that God has except the word of God being born in your soul.
Amen.
Satan can't do that.
Right.
God bless you. Let's sing a song. Let's be wary. Let's be sensitive to what's going on right now.
When no heartache shall come, no more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day that will be.
Sing it to him.
Oh, what a day that will be
when my Jesus I shall see. When I upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace, when he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that cross to bear. No more sickness, no pain, no more parting over there. And forever I will be with the one who died for me. What a day, glorious day. I shall see when I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace, when he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day.
Sure our soul is healed. Make sure we got the new birth. And then ask God, say, look, God, I don't have to go through a prayer line. I can just say it. I'm a Gentile. The Gentile way is not a prayer line. Sorry. Even Brother Brown tells you many times, laying on the hands of the Methodist tradition. Call to the altar, Methodist tradition. What did the Gentile tell Jesus? You just speak the word. I'm of authority and you're of authority. I tell people to go and come. You tell people to go and come. You know what he was saying? I know you got authority over demons. And there's a demon on my servant. And as I'm coming to you as a somebody that has authority, and I can tell these men to kill you if they want to, if I want them to. He said, you just speak the words. And you know what Jesus said? He said, as you spoke, it'll be done. And we know that the very hour that they came running and said, hey, that's the best way to do it. Because you know why? I'll promise you, that dude that was in the, I call him a dude, that guy that was sitting in the house, that whatever was wrong with him, he's probably agonizing. I mean, he just, and all of a sudden, he didn't need a tape played.
Right.
He didn't need a preacher to shake him. He was just laying there, and he had somebody of authority to speak for him. And he just accepted the gift. And I bet you when it happened, he's like, what in the world went on? I've had that done one time. I've been healed of something. And you're like, and it shocks you. Shouldn't shock us. But it does shock you because you're not expecting it. Maybe sometimes you're not even under the atmosphere of an anointing that's like now, an anointing that's going back and forth through the church. You might be out there working somewhere. You know, Brother Dale, the greatest messages he preached, he was working 40 to 50 hours a week at General Motors, and he was writing notes on a piece of paper that was supposed to be for a job. He'd write notes and stick them in his pocket. That was God coming to him.
Amen.
Sometimes we think we have to have an atmosphere. Sure, and it's good to have one.
Amen.
Love to feel the presence of the Lord. But I sure like the feeling when I'm sitting down somewhere under a tree somewhere or sitting somewhere in the house, and God just drops down and... To me, that's sovereign, Brother Bob, and that to me, that's intimate. That's intimate. I'm the only one there. And maybe somebody's praying for me. That's okay. But at that time, in that moment, he just drops right down, and he just gives you something. That's the special part of God. I mean, he can do that while he's doing it to you. I ain't special. He can do it to you, too. Let him drop down, and I've had him drop down in a car one time. I was driving a little small S10, white S10. Back from when we were building my house, and I was listening to the radio, and I was asking God about something, and the atmosphere got so real inside that till I looked over to see if there was somebody sitting there. And you know what I did? I had a hat on, and when I did, I slung that thing off. I said, God, if you're here, I said, this is what I need. And he gave it to me. But I threw that hat off. I knew there was a presence there that had not been there before. But I've also been riding down the road and think the devil's sitting beside of me. So don't get me wrong. We're not always on a cloud by ourselves. We're either the devil there or God there, one of the two. But when the presence of God comes, the devil can't stand it. He leaves. He can't stand being that close. I'm going to say this before we leave. Now listen. Look how special we are. All right? Look how special we are. Because Satan can talk to God anytime he wants to. Walk right up to him and talk to him. But when you and I are involved, Satan hates that. He can sit there and talk to God. He can accuse us. But when you're standing there and God's on the scene, Satan don't like that. He don't like to feel that kind of anointing on an old sinner human being that we are. He don't like that. He don't like it because he wants us to be a sinner. But praise God, God can work through every bit of that and give us what we need. Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the word you give us tonight. I pray that you'd bless us now on the highways as we leave. Bless us, Lord, in our work job for tomorrow and the different days, Lord. Be with us and come back together on Sunday, Lord, that we'll worship you in spirit and truth. And just be with the ones that are sick, Lord, Sister Johnny and different ones, that you'll touch their body, Lord. I pray that you would just bless each one on the highways that are traveling up there in North Carolina and Tennessee, that you'll protect them, Lord. Thank you for giving us a group of angels up there that took care of a lot of people. And some of them even here, Father, I pray that you'd just give them supernatural strength and a spiritual uplifting in our times of trouble, Father. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Go with God.